remember last week I had mentioned that we've been looking at all the various aspects of hospitality for the last few weeks. And, well, it came to my attention that God is the author of the greatest hospitality ever given. And it happened at the cross. But I also would like to read something from Psalm 23. Just one verse of the six concerning hospitality, concerning communion. David wrote, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies." I used to think that was in the sweet by and by for a long time. But it isn't. It's for today. Because we won't have any enemies when we sit at his table in heaven. This is for now. And I want you to look at this. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I always wondered what's on the table. Now, we go to each other's houses and we have fellowship and meals from time to time. But if you break this all down and you think about what's on the table, you're going to get the Reader's Digest condensed version today with handouts next week. Because there are four pages of what's on the table. But I'm just going to introduce it because I want to see the wheels start turning and the smoke coming out your ears as we go along with things that are on that table that you might never have thought about. The table that God has prepared for each one of us as believers. I can think of two things that first came to me was the bread and the wine, because anytime you went door to door in Bible times, you were refreshed with a foot washing generally, or given a cup of wine and some bread. Bread and wine were very common. And when I think of the wine, it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but also the bread is the living bread that came down from heaven, the manna, the true bread, are on the table. But I wanted to think a little bigger. And it had to do with what Paul said, "Praise be to God for his unspeakable gift," which of course is Christ himself. And communion is a celebration. It's a feast, if you will. And it's not a sad time. It's a joyful time. Jesus didn't get the long face. He said, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father." But what I did was I wanted to break down that portion of what we have in Christ and who we are in Christ. And I'm just going to give you five of each for today, because I have almost a numberless multitude from scriptures of what you have, what's on the table for you. The righteousness of God. Let's start with that one. God has declared you to be righteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Philippians 3, 9, Romans 5, 17, or 2 Corinthians 5, 17. A new creation. And God has declared you righteous because you've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus, made new in Christ, a new creation, someone that didn't exist before. You lived in the flesh, but now you're a new created being. Some of the things we have: the grace of God, because all of these promises come from his grace. Grace is available, and it comes through the cross. And everything that you receive from the Lord comes because of his grace. For we're saved by grace through faith. Not of anything that we did, not of our own works. You have the love of God on the table. You have the acceptance of God. You've been accepted in the Beloved. Did you ever try to be accepted in your little groups with kids way back when you were in school? And you might have been the odd one trying to find a place to fit in somewhere to be accepted. You don't have to do that with the Lord. He's accepted you in His Beloved. That's you today. It's no competition. We don't have to outdo the others. Just the fact, get that down in your spirit. You've been accepted by God Himself. You've been forgiven of God, by God. Everything, every sin that you ever committed, even the one that you think was the worst one, it didn't stand a chance when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. So whatever you thought you did that you can't get over it, today's a good day to get over it. And put it behind you and underneath your feet where it belongs. The redemption. You're the pearl of great price. You remember that little tiny short parable that Jesus taught about the pearl of great price? It's only two verses. But He talked about the rich merchant man who considered all that he had, all that he owned, and everything that he was willing to give it all to buy that one purchase, that pearl of great price. Well, you're that pearl. If you were the only person in the world, the Father was willing to purchase you with the blood of His Son. Holiness, sanctification, you've been sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. You've been made holy. See, we don't have to try to be holy. Just be, because we are. Now, I know that doesn't sound deep enough. But if you think on it a while, it's going to get real deep. Be what you are. Don't just try to be. On that table is the peace of God that passes all understanding. When the world is falling apart all around us, you don't have to freak out over who's going to win the election. This peace will last anywhere, even under the ice in Greenland. Do you know there's an Air Force base in Greenland that's under almost a mile of snow and ice? They work underneath in these big corrugated buildings underneath the ice. And if you're a believer, the peace of God will penetrate through that even there into the most remote places. No matter where you are, that peace is accessible. Why? Because He put it down on the inside of you. That's on the table. Peace with God. That's even something valuable to have. You're not at war with Him or He with us anymore. We're not His enemies anymore. All the supply of God. And my God shall supply three of your needs. If you got a good night's sleep on Thursday. Isn't that what the scripture says? Don't be so quick to agree with that. I bring my funny Bible sometimes. It says weird stuff. Don't be shaking your head, because it said, and God shall supply all. And what's the standard? What's the rest of that verse? According to His riches, not ours, but according to His riches in Christ. So these are some of the things that are on the table. All of His blessings, all of His favor, because it came in Christ. That's on the table. And David said, in the presence of my enemies, we've got all of these things. They're available to us because God has already provided them. So He's just waiting for people to come to the table and receive what He's prepared. And David said, He prepared this table in the presence of my enemies. Right here in Vermont, right here in Rockingham, everything that God has on His table, you're invited to receive it and to enjoy it and to participate in it. All speech. The ability to speak the word of God and with authority and with power. Why? Because you're born again now. The Holy Spirit is in you And when you speak the word, the anointing is on that word. When you're sharing with your friends or brothers and sisters, that speech that you have, the ability to communicate the word of the Lord with others, that's very powerful. That's all been made available now, because now the Spirit of truth. Oh yeah, that's another thing that was on the table. It wasn't a thing. It was something that was prepared for you. The coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and around us and upon us. Wall to wall God inside. That's who you are. All that stuff is on the table. All the knowledge and wisdom that God has been made available to you. Shall I stop or continue? I got about, oh good Lord, I've got about 30 more. I'll do a couple more, just to whet your appetite, to challenge you to come back next week, and I'll have these all printed for you, because I really desire to do this upright, and I'm reading them. But when you grasp even one verse, and how big that thing is when you start meditating on it and thinking about it, and let the Spirit reveal. Boy, when I asked what's on the table, wow. I can smell downstairs the food. And we have to have a scent for heaven. You know, what's on our heavenly table? And have a thirst for it. And a hunger for it. Because it's there waiting for us. In this world. On this side of the, on the side of the top side of the grass, shall we say. It's there for us in the now. The truth of God. All our educational systems now will tell you there is no absolute truth. Well, that's an absolute lie. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. The Word of God is the absolute truth. And without it, you're never going to find the perfect and one only absolute truth. And that's God's Word. And God Himself, and Jesus. He said, I am the way, singular. The life, singular. The truth, singular. An absolute fact. Not 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent pure, 100% pure. The pure truth, it still exists, and you have it. You have it down in your spirit, man. The absolute truth, and when you speak it, you can speak it with confidence. We're not politicians for Jesus. He speaks for Himself by the Spirit. Amen? Our hope. We talked about hope this morning. It's an everlasting hope. That means that hope will never be broken. That hope will never end. It's everlasting. There are people who survive long times in some really brutal conditions. And their hope is to escape that one day. People that were in a plane crash in the Andes Mountains many years ago, and they turned to cannibalism to survive. They were a soccer team. But their hope was to live. Some did, and some fed the other ones. They died in hope that some of them would make it off of that mountain. Our hope is the one who gave His life for us. But God raised Him from the dead. And it's a living hope. And I'll stop there, because we're about to get into that bread and that wine this morning. Because this is all part of the result of what's on the table. Sometimes you'll find the gospel so played out in so many places in Scripture. Psalm 103 is really one of my favorite ones, but I have a lot of favorites. I just like them all. All right. I need a helper, please. Let's see. Jesus started with the bread, so we will. Two helpers?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Father, we just thank you that in this house there are many willing, many who are so desire to be used by you in whatever capacity the day calls for. And I'm just so thankful because we all have this one common bread, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, dwelling within us in the hope that we live in the victory and overcoming power of the Holy Spirit, all made through the offering of Christ on the cross, in this bread, in this cup. Bring that to life right before our very eyes. We have that opportunity to dine at your table today, Father, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.